Welcome to the Dominion Embassy Broadcast. Lord, I love to sing your praise. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
If you read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 to 2, the Bible outlines some six foundational teachings of Jesus Christ. One is repentance, the other is faith, number 3, baptisms, number 4, resurrection of the dead, and number 5, eternal judgment. And then we also have laying on of hands. So, laying on of hands is a very important New Testament practice which Jesus Christ really taught and then practiced. It is important for us to know that whatever thing Jesus Christ was doing on this earth, the way that he did things was a teaching in itself. He was teaching laying on of hands when he practiced laying on of hands. So, I want us to understand that laying on of hands is a practice of God in his bid to bring his kingdom on this earth. We see God laying his hands on humanity. Actually, the book of Genesis teaches that God formed man, Genesis chapter 2, and then verse 7. The Bible teaches that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So God formed man. In the Hebrew, the word formed is actually squeezing into shape. God squeezed man into shape. He molded man into a form as a potter does. So God uses hands to mold humanity, and God still shapes mankind into the shape that he requires through laying on of hands and through his words that he speaks. So it is important for us to understand the teaching of laying on of hands. And it is important also because God wants to bring his kingdom all over this earth. All over the earth, God wants to bring his kingdom. So it is important for us to understand the concept of laying on of hands so that wherever we are, we will be used by God to bring his kingdom everywhere. Hallelujah. Laying on of hands is a teaching that emphasizes human involvement in the things that God wants to do on earth. So it is important for us to understand that human beings are needed as far as the kingdom of God coming wherever humans are. Human beings are needed for the accomplishment of the kingdomization process that God began really in the book of Genesis. So God wants us to be useful wherever we are in bringing his works, in bringing the things that he wants to do all over, whether we are in our schools, at our jobs, in church, wherever. God wants us to be useful instruments of his, to channel his strength, to channel his blessing, to channel his honor, to channel his grace, to channel his power to circumstances around us which need an intervention of God. So laying on of hands emphasizes the need for human beings to be involved in the things that God is doing on this earth. Without human involvement, God cannot really do the things that he wants to do on this earth, because the earth belongs to man. In the book of Psalm 115, the Bible says that God has given the earth unto mankind. That should make us to understand that although the earth is for God, is God's by ownership, it is man's by rulership. So God wants to use us in order to bring his kingdom wherever we are, in whatever circumstance that we find ourselves on this earth. It is also instructive to understand that laying on of hands underscores the potential principle. There is the principle of potential, or the law of potential, that God uses in doing things or in relating with humanity. God himself is a God of potential. That is why one of his attributes is that he is omnipotent. That means omnipotential. It means that everything is in God in a potential form. And that is the way that God created Christians. God created us. We are new creations. And when we got born again, God deposited potential in every believer. Every believer has got potential. In other words, all that we will be on this earth is already inside of us in a potential form. All that we will be. It will not come from outside. When we got born again and the Spirit of God came to live inside of us, we receive power. And that is all the power that we are ever going to need on this earth. The power is not going to come subsequently from heaven. All the power that we need is already inside of us, in a seed form, in a form that has not been activated. So as we grow in the Christian life, God does things according to the power that is at work inside of us. This power I'm talking about is dunamis, is dynamic power. And in the Greek, it's talking about an inherent power that you get by virtue of a nature that you have. So by virtue of being born again, by virtue of being Christians, receiving Jesus Christ, there is some power, inherent power, in the nature that you receive as a Christian. And this power is residing in us. We are loaded people. If you are a believer, you must understand that you are a loaded person. The Bible says that God has loaded us. He has downloaded his power into us. So that wherever we are, if he has need of to do something with his power, he will call upon us to demonstrate that power. It is like we have in our nation, Ghana, this powerful dam in Akosumbu. It is the source of the power in Ghana. And it is so powerful that you cannot stand the initial power that is generated from Akosumbu. It has to be stepped down by step down transformers all over the nation. They step it down several times until it comes into our homes for us to use it for our lights and for our electric iron and televisions and all that. They step down Akosumbu power to a form that is useful by humanity so that it doesn't destroy humanity, but humanity will use it, of course, advisedly. Hallelujah. It is the same with the power of God. We cannot stand the power of God in its raw form. In its raw form, you cannot stand it. So God stepped down his power and he puts it inside of us when we get born again. And he sends us all over the earth. He told them in Acts chapter 1 verse 8 that they should go all over the earth. This way, you behave like a transformer which is an instrument of power that, as it were, carries the power of Akosumbu, that carries the power of God to wherever that you are. So if God needs to fix a problem in your workplace, he needs to fix a problem in your family, he needs to fix a problem in your society, he does not have to refer to the power in heaven or the power in Akosumbu, because it is the same power that is now resident inside of you. So you are loaded as a believer with power, and God wants to use you by the laying on of your hands. The power of God is sent through you
to whatever situation that needs God's power or God's intervention or God's blessing or God's grace or God's honor. Whatever thing that God wants to do, God wants to use his people wherever they are to effect it. It may be that in your workplace, you are not a boss. You are not a person in charge. It may be that in your nation, you are not a member of parliament, or you are not in the judiciary, or you are not a president. In other words, directly, you are not in charge, but indirectly, you are in charge as a believer. God's power in coming into situations in our nation, whatever it is, it depends upon the church, his power source. It depends for us to release God's power for things to be done. That is why Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 tells us that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work in us. In other words, God cannot do anything if he set you aside on this earth. God cannot intervene in whatever situation in your family or tribe or whatever thing in your church if he sets you apart. He will not set you apart. But you can set yourself apart and think that, well, it doesn't concern me. Well, I'm not the pastor. Well, I'm not the boss. Well, I'm not the president. Well, I'm not the Ebusiopenyin. Well, I'm not one of the elders. But you have been given the power of God so that through you, what God wants to do will be initiated. You will be the power or the vim behind your nation, behind your church, behind your workplace, or behind in your family. Hallelujah. So God says that he has downloaded power into us. We are power distributors, like a transformer does. We distribute power, the power of God, so that God can do some things on this earth. Because it is illegal for God to move from heaven and do anything without the involvement of a man. That is why he has downloaded his power inside of us, so that through our prayers, through our the laying on of our hands, the release of God's power, things will be done on this earth. So I need to make you to understand that laying on of hands really is an act in which somebody places his hands on another with a definite spiritual motive. Laying on of hands is an act in which somebody places his hands on another with a definite spiritual motive. The motive could be to impart blessing or honor or authority or grace or healing, etc. It is a way of activating and releasing God's supernatural working power, which is already residing in you, the believer, for it to get to other situations that God wants to intervene or God wants to do something about. Laying on of hands is often accompanied by prayer and or by prophetic utterance or a declaration or anointing with oil. And oftentimes we see laying on of hands being done from believer to believer. Of course, you can lay hands on unbelievers, but it is not to impart something like anointing or something like that. Laying on of hands to unbelievers is basically in the Bible for them to be healed. They shall lay their hands on the sick, the Bible says, and they shall recover. Now, I need to quickly make you understand from 1 Timothy chapter 5 and then verse 22 that the Bible encourages us, actually advises us, that we should not be in a hurry to lay hands. In other words, laying on of hands is a practice that we must do as New Testament people. But God tells us that we should do it on his leadership. In other words, you cannot just call everybody and say, bring your head, let me lay hands on you. You should not do it unadvisedly. You should not abuse it, because it is a holy thing. Don't do it in such a way that now it loses its value. That is why it is important for us to be led by God in laying our hands on people, or maybe introducing God's power by raising up our hands to a situation in society and stuff like that. So we should lay hands, but we should not do it without the leadership of God. It's important for us to understand this, because when you are laying hands on people, for example, your spirit and the people's spirit are in direct contact. So that the Bible even cautions us that by doing it unadvisedly, you can be a partaker of other people's sins.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
1 Timothy 5, 22-23 says, keep yourself pure. Alright, so it is important for us to lay hands advisedly the way that God leads us to lay our hands. There are times that God may not necessarily lead you to lay your hands, but just to declare something or to speak something is enough, depending on how God is leading you. Now, in the book of John chapter 5, verse 19 to 20, I want us to understand the way that Jesus Christ went about doing the works of God, or bringing God's kingdom around him. God's kingdom wherever he went. Jesus Christ brought the kingdom of God. He did it by the laying on of hands, but he did it advisedly. Jesus did not just go around laying hands on everybody just because they are sick. In the book of John chapter 5, he went to the pool of Bethesda, and the Bible says that in the pool laid a great multitude of impotent folks, of blind and halt and lame and crippled and all that. And the Bible makes us to understand that it was only one person who was healed. The man who had been lame for about 38 years. He was the only person who was lame, healed, although there were a great multitude of sick people there. It didn't mean that Jesus, once he had seen the sick, should go around laying his hands on the sick. He didn't do that. If you read the account, you understand that only one person was healed among all the sick people who were there. I believe that you are no more compassionate than Jesus Christ. He was only teaching us that we should be led by God, because there is no power in us, in our flesh, in our hands, in itself. It is the power of God, and it is by his direction that his power will flow to get things done. So if you look at John chapter 5, verse 19 to 20, the Bible says that, verily, verily, I say unto you, this is Jesus speaking, the Son can do nothing of himself. And please note that the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. For what things soever he, that is God, doeth, and that is present continuous. In other words, Jesus says that as I am walking on this earth, I see my Father doing something. These also doeth the Son likewise. So Jesus is saying that I am imitating my Father. When I see my Father stretch his hand, whatever I see him doing is what I do. So when you see Jesus Christ laying his hands on the children and blessing them, it is because he saw spiritually his Father's hand upon the children, and then he also did the same. Because the Son can do nothing by himself. This is Jesus. So believers can do nothing by ourselves except what we see God doing in the realms of the Spirit. Hallelujah. Let's finish the reading. For the Father loveth the Son, John 5, 19 to 28. The Father loveth the Son and showeth, and please underline showeth, showeth him all things that himself doeth. The Father loveth the Son. Page 24. And showeth him all things that himself doeth. What does it mean? It means that as Jesus was walking on this earth, whatever thing that he was doing, laying his hands on the sick people, touching them and all that, he says that he saw his Father doing it. The Father so loves the Son that he shows him everything that he is doing. And then the Son does it after the Father. So when you see Jesus doing something, laying his hands, it is because in the spirit world, God is doing it. And he showed him that I'm doing it. And Jesus Christ just imitate God by doing it. Because laying on of hands is really a practice of God. That is why in the Old Testament, we see a lot of issues about laying on of hands. It's not just a New Testament practice. It's an Old Testament practice from Genesis chapter 2 verse 17. When he uses hands to mold man, we have said that God still shapes human beings into the image he requires through the laying on of hands. Hallelujah. So if you read Nehemiah chapter 2 verse 8, the Bible really tells us about God's use of his hands. It says that the good hand of my God upon me. Job 19 verse 21, the hand of God has touched me. Jeremiah 1:9, the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. These are all forms of laying on of hands. All right. Ezekiel 37 verse 1, the hand of the Lord was upon me. Ezra 7:6, according to the good hand of his God upon him. So God actually lays hands. God lays hands, and the laying on of hands or the hand of God is in the Old Testament, as it is in the New Testament, synonymous with his spirit upon people. So when Ezra 7:6 said, according to the good hand of his God upon him, he is talking about the spirit of the Lord upon him. When Job said, the hand of the Lord has touched me, in Job 19:21, he was saying that the spirit of the Lord has touched me. When Nehemiah 2:8, he said, the good hand of my God upon me. He was talking about the spirit of the Lord being upon him. So laying on of hands is a practice of God. And I like the way Psalm 118 verse 15b to verse 16 puts it, page 5. Says that the right hand of the Lord doeth. And that's a present continuous thing. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted or lifted up in a laying on of hands mode. Okay, so the hand of God doeth. It's a present continuous thing. So laying on of hands is clearly a practice of God. That is why Jesus Christ says that I cannot do it until I see my heavenly Father doing it. And that is the kind of understanding I want us to get. So that you do not think that you are the source of the impartation. You are really not the source. You are an instrument. When you put your hand upon somebody to bless or to impart grace or the Holy Spirit or to commission into leadership or whatever thing, it is really not from you. It is from God. You are an instrument. As a pastor, as a minister, as a Christian, you are an instrument. And that is the kind of thing Jesus Christ is trying to teach us. And I want us to go into a little bit of depth to understand the workings of God in the spirit before we can do it. Look at the book of John chapter 6 and then verse 44. John chapter 6 verse 44. We want to establish how spiritual laying on of hands, although it's a physical practice, how spiritual it is. John chapter 6 and verse 44 to 45. Jesus is speaking and he's saying, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him. No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I'll raise him up at the last day. What Jesus is saying is that you see me, you can call me a crowd puller. You can call me 5,000 men following me at a time, plus women and children. You can call me that wherever I'm going, a great multitude of people are following me. But Jesus says that I am not doing that thing on my own. I cannot pull the people by myself, except my Father has drawn them. So the people who were following Jesus, they were spiritually drawn by God. And that is the kind of thing that I want us to understand. The kind of workings in the spirit. When you have a church and people are attending, it is not because you are a fantastic man of God. It is because God has drawn the people. That is why they come to church. It is a working of God. Hallelujah. It's not a doing of mankind. It's not because your English is nicer than everybody. It's not because your color is nicer than everybody. It's not because you are the most beautiful pastor or you are the greatest preacher. No, it is because God has drawn them. Look at Jesus still. It is written, verse 45, John chapter 6. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that has heard, and please underline heard, every man therefore that has heard and has learnt of the Father cometh unto me. So what Jesus is saying is that if you see people coming to me, it is because my Father has spoken to them. It is because they heard him and they learned from him that you see them physically coming to me. Because the Son can do nothing of himself unless he sees his Father doing it. And that is the kind of understanding. I want to emphasize this for us to understand. Jesus taught that there is no profit in the flesh. It isn't because your hand is a special hand that we can cut the hand and worship the hand. It is because in the background, in the spirit world, God is doing something, laying his hands on the people. That is why when you lay your hands on them physically, something happens in their lives. It is because of the workings of God. Many times, we want to take the credit of God for ourselves. What God is doing, we like to say we are the one doing it. It is not so. If you read John 15 verse 16, Jesus even put it this way, that you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you. I'm sure that Peter and all those people, they will think that, well, I have chosen to serve the Lord. Like some people will say, I have chosen to give my life to the Lord. The Bible is actually saying that you did not choose him. He chose you. So there is a work in the spirit that we respond to in the flesh. There is a work of God that he does in the spirit that we respond to in the flesh. That is why Paul said that I have planted, Apollos watered, but it is God who gave the increase. So the person who plants and the person who waters is nothing, but God who gives the increase. There's an understanding we need to get so that we can walk with the Spirit of God. And God can show us what he is doing so that we can also do likewise like Jesus Christ. I want us to understand at this point that laying on of hands is a practice that all believers can engage in. It is not something that is limited to the pastor. Jesus Christ did not say that the pastor shall lay hands. It's for all believers, those who believe. Laying on of hands is for those who believe. Hallelujah. So let us not make it a pastor's thing or a priest thing. It is a practice that all believers can engage in. But you need to be qualified in order for you to lay hands. There are some qualifications the Bible gives us, and I want to rush through very quickly four of them so that you have the right balance. The first qualification to lay hands, page 26, who can lay hands, is that your heart should be right in the sight of God. Acts 8:17 to 21. Your heart must be right in the sight of God. There was this man, Simon the sorcerer, who wanted the power to lay hands. And Peter said, look, you cannot lay hands. Indirectly, Peter was saying that. You cannot lay hands because I perceive that your heart is not right in the sight of God. So your heart must be right in the sight of God. You must prepare your heart before the Lord. Hallelujah. You just don't call people and put your hands upon them unadvisedly. Your heart must be right in the sight of God. Number two, you must be in a position of authority over the beneficiaries. Because power, even in science, it flows from a high point to a low point. It doesn't flow from a low point to a high point. So, God's interventions, it flows from a people like believers, where he has loaded his power. Into it flows from us to other people. So you must be in a position of authority over the beneficiaries, like a father laying hands on the children, like a pastor on the church members, like a senior minister on other pastors, like maybe a senior Christian on other Christians. It must flow. The Bible says, Hebrews 7:7, the lesser is blessed by the better. Number three, you must believe. Mark 16:17-18. Jesus said that these signs shall follow them who believe. Among the signs is that they shall lay hands. So it means that before you can lay hands effectively, guided by the Bible, you must believe. You must believe in the doctrine. You must believe. Hallelujah. Now, finally, Romans 8:14, you must be led by the Spirit of God. You must be led by the Spirit of God. So, if you are a Christian, you are born again, you go through these qualifications, you must get yourself ready for God to use you wherever you are to impart His interventions, His grace, His Spirit, His honor, His blessing, His interventions wherever you are. You can even lift up your hands. That's why 1 Timothy chapter 3 or so tells us that I wish that men will pray everywhere lifting up holy hands, because it's a form of laying on of hands on the whole of society.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.